Well, thank the Lord this afternoon that we have the opportunity to come back. Hadn't planned necessarily in having a part two, so really some of this will be summarizing a few things and bringing out a few more points, but for the sake of time this morning, I thought it best just to quit. So, who is the head of the home? Scripture says that that role and function belongs to the husband and to the father. And that is a role that has been ridiculed by our world. It has been watered down, but the scripture says, and this is the formula for the most successful homes, most successful relationships will come when the man fills the place as the head of the home. And I think it is good sometimes for families, for wives, for children, just to remember who's the head of the home, and for the husband as well. And then to consider, are we showing the respect to the head of the home like we should be? Are we showing that deference? Are we showing that honor? And for the husband to examine his own life and see, am I being the head like I should be? Am I filling that position like I ought to be? And when the Lord shows us that there are some areas we need to modify, that's part of, again, a recipe or a formula. If we haven't been following exactly, the Lord gives us room to make adjustments. And I'm thankful that the Lord does that. So the husband is the head of the home. We mentioned earlier this morning in spiritual things, the Lord wants us to be leaders. Set a good example. Set the spiritual course. Think about absent leadership. Absent leadership brings instability and insecurity in a home and in a marriage relationship, which means that there are things that are more important than work. There's more important things than saying I'm providing for the family. Absent leadership brings instability, and that is one of the greatest gifts that as men, one of the greatest gifts we can give to our family is to be there. That means physically be there. That I know there are times that we're gone. I know there are times that we travel. I know all of those things, but that we not forsake our position to be that spiritual, emotional, financial, that leadership, to provide that leadership in the home. And again, it brings instability, absent leadership. And that is happening in the homes all across our world. That men are out doing other things and women are having to fill that gap. In a Christian home, a woman shouldn't have to be filling that gap. There shouldn't be a gap. And there are also places, then I mentioned this morning, that wives need to be very careful in how they are conducting themselves with their husband, that they recognize, again, that there are roles that God has given. And sometimes maybe we find that not being quite as careful, then a wife might need to learn how to take a step back, and the husband needs to learn how to take a step forward. But that is to promote greater stability, greater peace, and greater happiness in the home. None of these things was intended to be a hardship. It wasn't intended to be bondage because this is the best formula. So if there are struggles in the home, if there are struggles in relationships or in families, then say, hey, let's get back and see the formula, the recipe that's there, and let's make some adjustments. And it takes a lot of understanding. You know that relationships, parents and children and husbands and wives, it takes a lot of understanding, and it also takes all of us in those relationships giving each other some room. You know, we need room to grow as husbands and as fathers, and children need room to grow and mature, and wives need room to grow and mature. And mentioned earlier, you know, it's been all of the news about Bill and Melinda Gates, right? They've been married for 25 years. And it's heartbreaking to me. When I first saw that, I was like, here's someone that's built one of the biggest companies in the world. And he and his wife say irreconcilable differences. Do you know that when two people love the Lord and they have made a commitment before God, that there is grace not just to tolerate one another. But there is grace when we follow and live God's way. There is a place that you can be at peace and enjoy life and have a good life together. I believe that. And I also believe that it never pays. And this is just some, goes along with this part of this formula of loving and providing leadership. It is not wise in any sense of the word to ever look back on the past and say, I wish, or I should have done this differently, or I wish we would have never got married, or I made a mistake, or I, when that I do is said, before God, we are joined together for a lifetime commitment, and it does not have to be a lifetime of misery. I know there are things that people find out in marriage that maybe there were some differences there that you didn't know. But do you know after 25 years, we can talk about Bill and Melinda, but we can talk about all of us too. I don't know how long y'all have been married. 21. Okay, well, we'll go for 20 years then. How's that? So 1, 2, 3, 4. There's 4 or 5 of us that have been married over 20 years. Some a whole lot more than that. And do you realize that there is still a learning process going on? You think after 25 years that a man as smart as Bill Gates should have ought to have figured out what would make his wife happy? I don't know what their differences are, but I can tell you this. I do not believe that they're irreconcilable. I don't believe that this afternoon, because there is, when you walk in grace, and now we're talking to folks that love the Lord, there is a place in the Lord through following His Word that you can learn to live and be at peace one with another and have a good life together in spite of differences. One married couple, and I know they're pretty open about it, but I won't say their name. They would say it if they were here. They said they are so different, almost every decision they make is a compromise. Now, I've got to say I'm thankful that's not the way it is with my wife and me. However, they've learned to have a good life together in the Lord. So different in personality and perspective that everything's like this compromise. That gets wearing after a while. Let's just say it like it is. That gets real wearing, doesn't it? But in the Lord, there is a power that God honors the institution of marriage. He honors the commitment. And I want to encourage the sister and the brethren and the sisters, never even begin to question the commitment. When we have said, I do, that is settled. And now it's, Lord, help me to have greater understanding. Help me to have greater wisdom. But first and foremost, help me as a man now to have those spiritual graces that will enable me to set the course for my home, and you will find it becomes much easier for the wife and the children to follow. Now, I cannot put all the responsibility on a husband. There are times that a wife and children choose to go a different course, and it brings heartache, but yet it is still much easier when the man sets the tone and sets the course spiritually in the home. Providing leadership. Now we read in, as we close this morning, that a husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. It is important for a man as he loves his wife to learn, and some people have grown up not hearing the words, I love you. Have you brethren that have ever gone to the store and looked for a card? I know I don't tell you, but I want you to know I love you. Do you know how many cards there are out there like that? I know I don't say it often enough. Here is a piece of marriage advice, and it will serve you well. Say the words. And then some say, well, how you act is more important. We'll get to that. But it's still important to say the words, I love you. Your wife's having a difficult day. And you, brethren, can have a difficult day too, but we're talking about our job now. If your wife's having a tough day, it's not always about just giving the right advice or the right counsel. It's about giving them stability in your love. That they don't have to think, well, you know, Is he going to come back? Is he questioning his commitment? Is he wishing he would have never married me? Maybe she's having a really bad day, and maybe she failed at having the grace like she should have. Do you know it is a godly man's job and responsibility and his privilege to be there with consistent love and let his wife know, I love you. And I know I've said it before, and I heard my dad say it, and I've said it, and I know some places in other countries that I've shared this, the wives wish their husband would get it too, and maybe it could be a blessing, but sometimes you look at your wife and say, what's wrong, honey? Nothing. You look and say, what's wrong? Nothing. It's like we both know that's not true. Am I the only one that's happened to? Come on. I need some support now. Sisters, your husbands can't do anything. Because they have a ride home with you. But anyway, honey, you still love me. But you say, what's wrong? Do you know sometimes it's not the fount of wisdom that all of us as godly men have to offer our wives? You understand what I'm saying there? You understand what they need is just that assurance that you love me. And in our minds, it's like, well, of course. But they need to hear that. They need it. You young men that are not married, you listen, put this down in your file cabinet. When nothing is wrong, your wife needs to hear you say, I love you, and to go put your arms around her, not just go and preach a message like this, but to go put your arm around her and just let her know that I love you and I'm here for you. They need to hear that. That's important. That's part of loving our wives. That's part of showing consideration with our words, placing her welfare above our own. I'm dismayed at the number of selfish men in our world. They're living selfishly, and they like the scripture, the man's the head of the home. But when you really start to examine that, it's talking about providing that leadership as Christ did the church. That he put our welfare above his own. Christ died for us. Which means then that we should have that same love and care for our wife, that I am willing to suffer for your welfare. I am willing to forsake other things for your benefit. I am willing to give up because I want you to be secure and protected and provided for. And Christ did not compromise truth for his people either. So as husbands, if with wives or someone that may be getting off course and not really living like they ought to live, it is our responsibility to stay the course in love. Stay the course. Stay there and set that godly example for our family. Unconditional love is part of loving as Christ loved the church. And wives will have an environment in which to flourish when they know that I am loved unconditionally. In the good times and in the difficult times. When the grass is green and the birds are singing and it's bliss outside. Or when it's raining and it's cold. And things are just little difficult to know that my husband is there with his unconditional love. And that applies to fathers as well. There's never a question of, I'm going to leave, I'm going to separate, but I'm here consistently, diligently loving you that we're going to make it through the tough times together. I find that one of the things that I know statistically, do you know that families that have experienced miscarriages are much more statistically prone to get a divorce? And you may think, why? That doesn't make sense. What makes sense is when difficult times come and stressful times come, that number one, there needs to be a lot of understanding. Brethren, a lot of understanding for the emotions that a woman has during those times. But also when stresses can be put on a marriage during all types of things in life can happen. And what is important for us as godly men to remember that it is important for our wives to know that when difficult time comes, that let's go through this together. Let's not oppose one another. Let's not this be a you against me, but this is a difficult time. Let's be together in this and we'll make it through as a team. You know, the Lord will honor that. This is part of loving as Christ loved the church and providing spiritual leadership. It would be nice to say here that if you have been, you know, if you've been married so many years that everything will, you'll understand each other completely. I cannot tell you that in good conscience. There's going to be times that maybe you've been married a long time. You think, well, surely you ought to understand by now. There may be some things, there will still be some things that, you know, some of those days that you just don't get it. But do you know that should never have anything to do with our love, our commitment, and our support for our bride, for the wife of our youth. And part of providing leadership is then, is if there come those, and I won't ask for a show of hands, you ever had a tense moment? And maybe you didn't have the patience that you should have. Or maybe you didn't handle something exactly like you should have. And you think maybe the wife was the one you could, if you do, maybe you think that most of it lie with her. You know what spiritual leadership is? Spiritual leadership means being the first person to humble. It means being the first one to come and say, honey, I'm sorry. I should have handled that better. Without being self-righteous. Without putting her on a guilt trip. Even if you believe that 95% of it was her problem. Spiritual leadership is in difficult times. You be the one to set the tone of humility in those difficult moments. The scripture, part of loving, is nourishing and cherishing. Y'all know those words? To nourish and to cherish. Part of that is bringing security. To nourish something means to provide with food or other substances necessary for growth, health, and good condition. To nourish in good times and difficult times. You know, that's part of what a godly man does. That's what the scripture teaches us to do. To cherish, to nourish your wife. It means to be there to listen. Give a listening ear, even if you don't understand completely. Give a listening ear. Give her that forum to be able, you've come home from work and you're tired and you're worn out and you would just like to relax a little bit. And it's good for wives to give their husbands that space to kind of unwind when they walk in the door. You meet them as pleasantly as you can. However, your wife might have been there working all day. She, in the home, she's there taking care of the children, washing your dirty clothes, has a meal prep for you, and she might need some adult conversation. She may need someone to talk about some of the stresses that she's had. So it's important for a man to take the time to recognize that my wife has those needs too. She needs a sounding board. She needs to just be able to, and I say this in balance, she needs someone to be able to vent to some of the things that she's faced through the day. So that's part of our function and role as a husband. And to give a hug too. Did I say that? Cherish means to protect and to care. That means physically and emotionally. Do you know that as loving our wives, as Christ loved the church, Christ never belittles us, even in our failures, does he? He's there to support. He's there to put a hand out to lift us up. And that's what the Lord wants us as godly men to do. If there's a place that is lacking in the home, it should never be that we belittle our wives with our language or with our actions. To make her feel unimportant or belittle her, to speak to her in a way that causes her to want to just wither up. Because we're there to try to cherish, to help grow, to help foster growth, and that's part of cherishing physically and emotionally. Scripture says in 1 Peter 3, it says, husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not entered. Do you remember last week in Titus it said, talk to the women, it said that the word of God be not blasphemed? In other words, filling your function. Do you realize that part of our function as godly men in following that formula that's in the word of God, he said that your prayers be not hindered. In other words, fill your godly function in the home, because if you don't, it's going to hinder your prayers. And I also find when hardships come, it has a way of bringing us to our knees, doesn't it? It's, Lord, as a husband, as a father, I don't want anything in my life to be hindering my prayers getting through with God. This is part of how to keep our prayers open. Dwell with them according to knowledge, knowing they're the weaker vessel. Do you think that means going into the gym and seeing how much weight we can lift? Who's the weaker vessel? He said, well, I can lift more, I'm stronger. There's been a lot of abuses made to this scripture. But let me give you this to consider. As the husband is the head of the home, and the wife is to be in what? Subjection to her husband. In what things? In all things. Does that not put her, in a sense, in a weaker position? It does, doesn't it? And so the scripture says, husbands, remember this. You dwell with your wife according to knowledge, and you give honor to her as the weaker vessel. It's not that she's less intellectual. It doesn't mean that she's less capable, but she is in a place, if she's trying to fill her godly role, she's should be desiring to be submissive to you. So you treat her in a way that shows respect for that, because you are the head of the home. Dwell with her according to knowledge. Isn't that a great responsibility for the brethren? If you have a wife, she's in your care, and she's wanting to do what the Bible says, then he said, you remember the place I put her to follow, and your place is to give of yourself to her and seek her welfare above your own. Dwell with her according to that knowledge, that your prayers be not hindered. I don't find a lot of room for selfishness in this teaching. I don't find a lot of room for these men that just think I'm the head of the home and I can talk to my wife however I want. Our wives are not the doormat. Our wives are not our servants. Our wives are to be our helpmeet, our companion, and we need to treat them with that due respect. Scripture says in 1 Timothy 5:8, if a man provide not for those of his own household, he is worse than what? An infidel. Part of the role and function of a man is to be the provider for the home. That responsibility was not given to the wife. It was given to the husband to provide for his home. And again, I know there are some circumstances through health issues and through different things that changes. And God understands that. But optimally, this is what the Lord wants, that it is the man that takes upon himself responsibility. Which means then, do you remember last week I mentioned that there are some women that shovel it out faster than their husband can bring it in? Well, when a man brings a check home, and I remember hearing this growing up from my father, and I'm glad, I appreciate it, and I hope my boys get it too. But I remember my dad saying, when a man goes out and works and he brings a paycheck home, and whose name is it in? Michael Smith. It's in his name. That check, in essence, that says Michael and Renee Smith. You might have been out working over there to make some money, and she was at home, again, taking care of the children, providing a home for you, washing the clothes, and working in other jobs maybe that you have that you work at home on, and she's been doing those things. What is she getting paid? In other words, this is a team effort. This is a joint thing that I want to show respect and value my wife for the place that she's filling. I think I know the answer of most of the men here if we were to have a survey and said, what if y'all just had a role reversal? You stay home all day, take care of the children, clean the house, wash the clothes, and work on the jobs that your wife, that you worked on. They say, we have this job here, and the cows need to be fed, and grass needs to be mown, and all these other things. And you have these jobs, and that's your responsibility now, and your wife will go to where you work. How long do you think you would enjoy that? I think most of it would say, oh, let's stay in our roles. Let's stay in our roles. You know, that's what the Lord wants. But that means that the benefit that comes from work, I want to show that value to my wife as well. So when decisions are made financially, when big, you know what? We make those together. It's not just this independent thing. I don't want my wife being independent and going out and making decisions and not, but I shouldn't be doing that either, even if maybe I'm the head of the home, and I am. It should be that, what do you think about this? I want her wisdom. I want her perspective. I want her balance. See? And we need to show them that respect, because that's what makes us a team working together. One of the things that is value, and this could be a whole nother lesson, we're not going to dwell on this, but communication is so vital. Communication means giving opportunity, husbands and wives, of listening to one another. Of listening. What do you think? What's on your mind? I can see there's a different perspective. What are you thinking? And then also being able to share what's on your heart. And being able to have a mutual respect even in differences of perspective. And I would like to conclude with this. Part of the formula that God has given us as men has much to do with being faithful and consistent. Value your family. Be there. Let lack of leadership brings instability. They need you more than they need what you bring home with you. They need you. They need your presence. They need our love. They need our care. They need our stability. And there is a function that a man fills in the home that cannot be substituted by a wife. That comes into child raising. And again, that's another subject as well. There is a firmness that a man can bring in raising children that many times a wife and a mother does not have. A wife should respect that function in her husband as well. But a husband that just leaves all of that to his wife, there's going to be something lacking. There's going to be something missing, because children need to know, dad says it, this is what it means. This is the end of the road, in other words. This is, and that is there to support a husband, should support his wife with the children as well. And if there's a disagreement with something, it should be taken care of behind closed doors. Shouldn't be done in front of the children. But there, the stability of knowing will be there. And I will just say this as well. Husbands, as leaders in the home, as godly men, don't give up if there's a problem. And I'm not trying to paint this as a negative thing, all right? But I do want to encourage all of the men, part of our function and role in the strength that God gave us and how He wired us, is that we should be the ones not to give up if you go through a difficult, you know, marriage, just like in people's relationship with God, there's valleys and hills, right? There's valleys and hills. There's deserts and there's oases, you know, of flowing streams. It's the same way with marriage. There's times that, you know, there's seasons that sometimes things are a little more difficult than others, and sometimes it's all bliss, and then all of a sudden it's like, what happened? You know, it kind of seems like getting in a little dry spell here. Does that mean the marriage is any less? No. But you have to take a step back and recognize that, you know, this is life. Let's go through the desert together then. You know, it's not, listen, well, I'm going to go hunt for some water somewhere. I mean, it's getting a little dry around here. No, let's go look for it together. And that's where the man, I believe God has given a man the stick-to-itiveness that surpasses emotion in how things feel when things may be a little dry or a little difficult, or you've had this little, you come to a little seeming impasse at something in a marriage, that a husband should be the one to step up to the plate with grace, do it gracefully, and with love, but I'm not going anywhere. We're going to make it through. We're going to make it through this issue, and you know what? We're looking for a brighter tomorrow, and you know that brighter tomorrow will come. But the reason there's so much divorce in our world and country is because men are losing their stick-to-itiveness. Women are looking for an emotional attachment and fulfillment, and men are losing their stick-to-itiveness, and we'll all just go look for greener pasture somewhere. No, if we fulfill our godly roles, you will make it through the seasons of life together and come out stronger and more blessed in it. I know there's much more that could be said, but trust the Lord will bless each one of us. I want to say again, I appreciate the godly husbands and the godly young people, the godly young men, and the godly children. We appreciate you and love you. Thank you for being there. Let's keep fighting the good fight, brethren. Don't give up. Don't give in. Keep fighting the good fight and be there for your wife and your family. And the Lord has greater blessings down the road. If you're not experiencing it today, He's got something better for you down the road as you fulfill your godly role. Amen.